Hello and welcome to the Climate Blue podcast and our Inside Bodymore show, Inside Matt Kendrick's spare room show. Obviously no proper press conference with the European fixture last night, so it was a Premier League Productions one, a couple of basic quotes from Emery. So we're just going to talk about the game in a more broad sense. I've still got no internet, everyone will be pleased to hear. I'm sure everyone's sick of hearing it. So I've come to your house, Matt. Thank you for inviting me in. Got a cup of tea. We're going to do this face-to-face. We will not be making a habit of this because this is a logistical nightmare. How are you? You okay?
I'm all right. I'm just thinking of the trade description now, Inside Bodymore. I don't know. How can we justify? I suppose I've got more body than John Townley, who normally does it. Yeah, this is not a behind-the-scenes into Emery's presser because we haven't been.
And there hasn't really been much to say. Emery said that he would not rule out Jacob Ramsey, but kind of sounds like he kind of is ruled out for the weekend. But Pau Torres and John McGinn are available. Obviously, Pau Torres came off at half-time against Ajax on Thursday and McGinn came on in the second half. What did you make of the Ajax game very quickly before we speak about Spurs? Good result, good performance?
I thought the result was good. Full disclosure, I watched it at Villa Park.
I'm going to ask you about that in a minute, yeah.
I watched it at Villa Park last night and I was catching up with old friends, so it's one of those ones. What have you got me on here for today?
John's flying back, basically.
It's one of those ones where it was happening. And I think the result was good. I think the result set it up really, really nicely for next week. I think it shows us that we've got to do our bit as well in terms of getting Villa Park rocking, if you like. I think we've been spoiled a little bit, but a 0-0 away draw is not a bad result
in
Europe, especially when you've got the kind of ferocity of Villa Park behind you in the second leg. I thought it was, obviously the referee's been, I know you did this last night, and this is the pre-Tottenham thing, but the cons are sending off, the Zaniolo booking, it's just, I don't know, at least we can be reassured that referees on the continent are as bad as ours.
Yeah, we thought the Premier League refs were bad. That was something else last night, it really was. Did that game kind of go the way you thought it was going to? With me and John both in the pre-match preview we did for Ajax, were like, I think we'll win both legs. I still think we'll progress through to the next round, but that game didn't really pan out in the way that I thought it would. I do think we'd score at least, but you're right to say that a 0-0 kind of sets it up perfectly. All to play for at Villa Park is the key phrase everyone's going for.
Yeah, I think we can get delusions of grandeur sometimes. Probably as Premier League fans, really, that I know Ajax aren't anywhere near the force that they used to be, but they're still a kind of nifty side as we saw last night. So it's a surprise in the sense whenever Villa draw a blank now, because they always expect us to find a way of scoring a goal. And, we know that we've got several people across the pitch who could score a goal. But I don't know. I don't know whether it surprised me. It would have surprised me if we'd have lost the game. And I did fear when Conte got sent off. I know it was evened up fairly quickly, but I did fear when Conte got sent off that we could kind of collapse or let our guard down in the last 5 or 10 minutes. But ultimately, I think it was a good result, and I think it erodes any kind of sense of complacency in the second leg. If we'd gone there and nicked a goal and won 1-2, I think we could have, not that we do very often, we could have taken our foot off the pedal. But yeah, I'm comfortable enough with it, really. I still think we'll get the job done next week.
Before we do speak about Spurs, what was it like at Villa Park last night? What was the deal? What was happening?
Well, I got there about a minute before kickoff. I was supposed to be leaving here at 4 o'clock and told my son, make sure you're home from school. We're leaving bang on 4. And then I was still on a meeting till 4:30.
Always on a meet.
Got stuck in traffic. Frustrated that we weren't going to get there. Got there just in time. And it was really, really pleasant environment, really. It was, I don't get in the posh parts of Villa Park. No. It was in the director's kind of suite, the director's lounge. Fed us nice bit of curry, chips and some rice. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I think I had 3 desserts. So that was £120 million losses.
100 million on pudding.
They're not going away anytime soon. And it was just a nice vibe because there were some of the old legends there. Sid was there, Gary Shaw was there, Kenny Swain was there, Andy Blair was there, Tony Daly was there, physio legend Jim Walker was there. So it was a nice selection of people. And I got sat next to tour guide legend Mick Dale. We finally delivered him his leaving present, which was a mishmash.
About a year late.
A picture of him from the Villa mishmash. It was really good. Andy, while I'm doing the shout out, it's a guy called Andy Turnstile. That's not his real name. He's a turnstile operator.
I'd love that if that was his actual name.
He was destined to do that job, wasn't he? It might have been his name, but people know Andy Turnstile, so he was there. So it's good to catch up with those guys. Hannah as well, who organised it. So it was a good night. The weird thing was, I was watching it on the screen, and the commentary that I was getting was Mark Regan and Brian Little.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And obviously, Tails was there as the pundit, wasn't he? For, was it on TNT?
Yeah.
But we got the commentary. We got Villa's commentary. And I was just, kind of half paying attention to it. And then I just finished eating my third pudding. And who should come wandering past but Mark Regan? I was like, hang on a minute. How have you done that? Is this some kind of HS2 version of The Flying or what? And he said, I'm glad you thought that. I've just been in a booth around the corner.
Oh, yeah, they're in Villa Park. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Brian. And I thought, oh, okay.
It wasn't mid-game, it was half-time.
No.
If it was mid-game, that was even more extraordinary.
No, it was post-match, actually. He was packing away and going home, and it just kind of played havoc with my senses. But
I love that.
Yeah, so it was a good, enjoyable night.
Yeah, good. Was it a freebie?
I'm not prepared to comment.
The losses continue at Villa Park. I'm just going to check whether I'm in shot on this camera because I feel like I might not be. Fingers crossed that's better. Who knows? This is an audio-only podcast really anyway, isn't it? Most people are listening, I think, rather than watching. All right, on to Spurs then. Big game, isn't it? This one on Sunday. Massive game for the race for the Champions League.
Well, there's no easy games at this level, Dan.
Excellent. No, but seriously. Difficult game. One that is kind of a six-pointer, I suppose. If Villa win, I was going to say, kind of nailed on for a Champions League place. Would you go that far, do you think?
I don't like to.
I'm including fifth in Champions League standings.
Yeah, I think we've suddenly seen that gap open up. I think we've fallen into this trap a little bit with the Manchester United thing, though. We've lost twice to Man United, and we're still in hope. I know the gap between ourselves and Spurs is nowhere near as generous as the one that we've had over Man United. But, how many games have we got left, Dan?
10? 11?
Yeah, so I know you like it for all your kind of hype and stuff, but I don't like building games up. It's a big enough game as it is. Whether it's, a six-pointer, I'm not sure. I think the thing that I find interesting at the moment is that now that we're relevant again, and that we're up there amongst it, we seem to just be creating kind of like fake rivalries.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah. Fans hate us now, don't they? They've got the Matty Cash kind of voodoo dolls out and sticking pins in his eyes and stuff like that. And it's just, can't we all play together nicely?
Yeah, we're a threat, aren't we?
We are, but we're all, when it's ourselves, and I know Spurs have had Champions League a lot more recently than us. Well, they've had it full stop and we haven't. But we're all trying to break in.
Yeah.
Established elite, so let's do it.
I'd have Spurs in. Spurs are in that.
You think they're already there?
Yeah, you've got Liverpool, United, as in the big six and all that. Liverpool, United, Man City, Arsenal, Spurs, Chelsea.
So we just seem like the pesky little upstarts.
Yeah, they don't want us to muscle in on
that. Villa were formed in 2012, and we just suddenly.
But I think it's because we're a threat. When the accounts came out at the start of this week. We did a podcast about that's done really well. So if you're one of the people that haven't seen that, go and have a look at that on the channel as well. But when that news came out, I think Fabrizio Romano was doing a tweet and all that kind of stuff. All the replies are from opposition fans going, points deduction. Come on, let's punish Villa. What players can we nick on the cheap? And you wouldn't get that if we were mid-table and not a threat to any of these big clubs. That is the reason these kind of rivalries arise. With we play Arsenal, we beat them, and all of a sudden Arsenal fans are going crazy on social media, which is the norm anyway. But Spurs, I'm glad you brought it up with the Matty Cash thing with Cootie Romero, big hard man in his puffer jacket and ripped jeans. Ooh, but Matty Cash is quaking in his boots, isn't it? That Cootie's coming after him. Christ, just ridiculous, isn't it?
It's just, yeah, listen, it just adds to the pantomime around it, really, doesn't it? So I don't mind it. Just kind of a,
it's weird though, isn't it? Again, it's kind of social media era, I suppose. I can't imagine any of us, and what I believe on normal Villa fans watching this, doing that to another club.
I think you've misrepresented our demographic. I don't think there's got many normal fans amongst there.
Full of weirdos.
I think they're all extraordinary.
Okay. You went the other way. Let's talk a little bit about like a predicted 11, then, so to speak.
Oh, did you say, you know, I think you've abandoned the concept now, but you know when you used to do the combined 11s?
Yeah.
You see that somebody had done a combined 11 and put Matty Cash in every position.
Yeah.
That did amuse me the other day.
Speaking of combined 11s, while we're here, we did them for, like, again, when we're playing against the big clubs, because there was no point doing it for Brentford and having 10 Villa players. So we did it for Spurs, Chelsea, United, those kind of things, and we did it in the reverse fixture. And I thought the Villa-Spurs one was one of the ones that had the most probably even split. Spurs have got some good players, and Villa have obviously got some good players. But when we did Chelsea, I think it was majority Villa, because they've really dropped off. Who scored, I think, did their combined 11 for Villa, for Spurs this week in the build-up? And the back four didn't have Pau Torres or Ezri Konsa. So they're still like, they're like a stats-led website, and it's like, yeah, it should be unbiased. But you still look at things like that and go, no Leon Bailey? Yeah. Where's he? Kulusevski's in there over here. It's like mind-blowing that we still don't seem to be represented, even on a stats-based platform. So
who of ours would have got in there?
I think Gim was in there, Louise. I don't think Martinez was in. I think Luca Dean was left back. Porro's a good player. I like Porro. I think he's a very good right back. Van de Ven's a good centre half. As Romero, as much as I'm kind of joking about Kuti and all that kind of stuff, he's a good player. He's got a rash mistake in him. He's got a red card in him, as we've seen. Konsa and Torres are two of the best centre halves in the league, as we know.
This isn't just an opinion.
Yeah, for Bailey, who's one of the most informed players in the league, not to be in some kind of combined 11, or Kulusevski. Yeah, again, a good player, but Bailey's been incredible this year.
I suppose Big Andrew was managing it as well, rather than Lord Emery.
Probably was. Yeah. If we do a predicted 11, then we're pretty much a clean bill of health. No, nothing fresh from the last couple of weeks, anyway. Obviously. Pau Torres played 45 minutes against Ajax, and in the post-match show, we've not seen Emery's quote, so me and Frankie were kind of speculating, was that the plan or was it an injury? Unai said it was. Who knows if I know him? Unai Emery said that was the plan, to ease him back in. Makes sense. Big tick. He survived the 45 minutes, ready for Sunday. So if you had to pick your 11 in this massive game, what would you go for?
Oh, put me on the spot now.
It pretty much picks itself, doesn't it, really? Cash right back, or is it Konsa right back?
I've come to prefer Konsa.
Yeah, I think Konsa in the big games, like Arsenal and Man City, it was Konsa right back, Carlos and half. I think if Carlos is fit enough to start, which might be a big ask, I think I'd go Konsa right back. Yeah. But that would all depend on Carlos's fitness.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you. And the left back one's still interesting. Like Luca Dean seems to come back into favour when that position looked nailed on for Moreno for a while, didn't it? He was interested with the last home game, was it Forest, when you could just see the moment where, I wouldn't say lost patience with him, but you could see where Emery thought defensively probably need Luca Dean in the situation. So yeah, I probably would go with Luca Dean.
Scored a win as well against Luton, Dean. So,
well, yeah.
Probably deserves the start in that sense.
I still find out that a ridiculously brilliant statement of where Villa are at, that your left back is going to
yeah,
winning the game when previously we'd have been clinging on desperately to salvage a point. We've still got the attacking intent of doing that.
It's a retro mug, by the way. That's not the new logo anymore.
I don't think I've got one of the new
ones. Maybe not. No, I think they're in the office. Konsa can only play right back if Carlos is fit, unless you're playing Longley and Torres together.
I probably would play Longley, to be honest. I'm from the left foot brigade, mate, so I've got no problem with the southpaws. Okay, let's crack on through this because we're making a meal of this. In goal, Martinez. At right back, I'd have Konsa. My two centre halves would be two left footers. I'd have Longley and I'd have Torres. And I'd have Luca Dean. Oh, man, I'm cramming in the left footers. This are. And as long as they're kicking towards the north stand, they'll all be down my side as well, watching them on the Trinity. That's the back four. We don't think Ramsey's going to be available, do we, despite Emery?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
So, what are we looking at?
McGinn and Luiz in the middle, pick themselves.
Yeah.
Bailey on the right, Diaby up front. Diaby on the right, Bailey up front. Watkins obviously picks himself. Is it Tielemans on the left? Is it Rodgers, who obviously started against Ajax?
Oh, you're confusing me now.
Oh, I don't know either. That's the problem.
John, come back.
Because I'd be tempted to put Tielemans behind Watkins.
Listen, if John would have got the same flight that Mark Regan did back from Amsterdam, he wouldn't be in this mess.
No, no.
Eager and enthusiastic as he is, John Townley has recorded his own post-Ajax, pre-Spurs video from an airport in Amsterdam waiting for his flight home. So, not to spam the YouTube algorithm, I'm going to include a short clip here in this podcast, but if you want 20 minutes of Townley, I'll upload the full thing to our audio feed so you can catch him on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Villa can definitely win it if they are switched on and positionally there. You know, spot on. I think Tottenham play better against teams who want to, you know, push on to them, and they afford space at the back, you know, stuff like that. And against teams who aren't particularly well organised, so if Villa can, you know, limit space for Tottenham, they don't have to control the ball either, because this isn't going to be a game where Villa are going to have 70% of the ball, or even 60%, even 55%. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be almost like a basketball game, I think. Villa need to limit that. They need to try and have, you know, control, but that doesn't mean keeping the ball. It just needs to be managing the game. Can they score the first goal and then play on the counter-attack, for example? And I think that Ramsey can help that, because he can drive with the ball. He can protect it. He can shield it. He can win fouls, all that sort of stuff. And defensively, he's, you know, used to play as a centre midfielder under Dean Smith. So, yeah, there's a lot of quality that, qualities that he can bring to this game for me that would be very useful. But again, he might not even be in the squad. We don't know yet.
I'd be tempted to put Tielemans behind Watkins. So then Bailey on the left, maybe. Then that's not his position, is it? So if we say Bailey on the right, that means Rodgers starting on the left, which I don't think is the right call. So Tielemans on the left, McGinn and Louise in the middle, Diaby on the right, Bailey up front.
Bailey off.
Or either or. If you've got to put your, I mean, me and John have tracked this throughout the season, me and John have done every preview, so you're kind of taking John's slot. Okay.
So is he winning at the moment?
No, he's a few points behind me. So you need to pull out a big result. What is your scoreline prediction for Sunday?
Same as yours. So we stay the same as John. I don't want to let John down.
Sorry, you're going first.
I'm going to go for the classic 2-1 scoreline. Let's go for that.
Goal scorers? Do you want to go any further? You don't get bonus points, but just, you know, for conversation. We couldn't even pick another 11, so Watkins,
just go for the old Watkins-Bailey. Watkins-Bailey seems to be a standard thing, especially if I've given Watkins my big love in. Anybody who wants to wants to listen to our audio-only Matt Kendrick monologue Villa Voice Notes podcast, there's a lot of love for Ollie Watkins and a lot of information about the number 11 bus route available on wherever you get your podcast.
That was episode 6 of that, and I saw someone tweet me saying that they don't normally listen to the audio-only that like they normally watch on YouTube, so they weren't aware of it. So if you are the same and you watch our stuff exclusively, we do have a podcast feed on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. And there are some bonus episodes on there that are audio only. Go back and listen to those. Might be some more stuff coming, audio only as well, potentially, one day.
Yeah, we've got big planning meetings, haven't we? We've got all the biggest plans, but when they actually get done.
The plans and all that. I will go Villa 1, Spurs 0. Clean sheet.
So you, in this prediction league, do you get points for the correct result and then extra points for the correct score? Or?
Yeah, so correct outcome is a point. So if I say Villa to win and we win by any scoreline, it's 1 point. If you get the scoreline bang on, it's 3 points. And we've done it for every game in the Premier League this season. I think it's something like, I'm on something like 24 points and John's on about 20. So it's close.
What, have you actually got the correct scorelines in any of them?
Yeah.
They're Brighton at home, yeah?
I got West Ham 4-1. I think I've had 3 correct scores and, you know, countless correct outcomes, because we spoke about this on a previous podcast. For every episode, I've predicted Villa to win every single game.
Oh, right.
I think I've done every single game to be a win and maybe a draw. So if they always came in, we'd be like 20 points clear at the top at the moment.
Does John ever predict defeats, or would he get booed out of town?
No, he's dropped. I think we both said we'd lose against Man City. And obviously we won. He's done a couple more draws than I have. I always just feel like I'm on a Villa podcast and I'm positive about the game. Spurs might beat us, but when I do my prediction bit, I'm not going to go 3-1 Spurs.
It'd be good if you come on every week and just predicting that we'd lose, wouldn't you? Just get cancelled by our followers.
1-0 Villa, Matty Cash. Yeah, that'll do us, I think, for this one.
I think so. I'm going to see. When's this coming out?
Either tonight or tomorrow.
All right, well, if it's tonight, I'm going to see Cast. Do you know Cast, 90s band?
Outcast?
Not Outcast. Do you know Cast?
No.
So I'm either going to see him tonight or I've seen him last night, which depends on levels of
fame. If it's tomorrow, was it good?
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed that they didn't play, you know.
Yeah. Let's call it there, because we're deriving into the realms of nonsense. But it's different from the usual previews with John, which are normally a lot more serious, a lot more football discussion, probably. But we're doing what we can with the moment, with the way things are. So thank you for letting me come into your humble abode and chat Villa with you. We'll be doing a post-match show. Obviously, the game is Sunday. That'll be you and me again, won't it, I think?
It will, yeah.
So we can look back at all the things we said today and see whether we were right or not.
You can sing some cast to me by then, can't you?
I'll make no promises. Okay. If you enjoyed watching this one on YouTube, I'll eat my mic. Scroll down to the comments and leave your thoughts and predictions as well. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can leave us a 5-star review. Immensely helpful, my boss tells me. That's him.
Are they?
Yeah.
I mean, working Wi-Fi would be more helpful, to be honest.
That's not my fault. All right. Thanks everyone for watching, and we'll see you on Sunday.